Welcome to the Beautifully Broken podcast, brought to you by AmpCoil. I'm your host, Freddie Kimmel, and on this show, we discuss the common thread survivors share after walking through the fire, the practitioners making a difference, and the treatment modalities that deliver healing back into the hands of the people who need it most. Witness the inspiration we gain by navigating the human experience with grace, humility, and a healthy dose of mistakes. Because part of being human is being beautifully broken. So there are two ways of becoming rich. One is to acquire many things, and the other is by desiring little. I had always been, you can ask my mom, a child who cleaned up his room by placing things out of sight. As far as the task of cleaning my room, I had this very interesting perception of what clean looked like. Ever since I was a little dude, I wanted to pack and stuff and hide things away so the space I was asked to clean or straightened up looked or represented a picture out of better homes and gardens. And the concept, this concept of putting things back in their actual place, it didn't sound awful to me. I think I just had too many things and the idea of finding a place for them all was sort of exhausting, so I cut corners. Now, at any rate, I became an expert at my own methodology and it really did make me feel good to have a clean room. My parents were happy, and I have to admit, on an emotional level, this probably made me happy. Yet in reality, if I revisit what was actually happening, the underside of my bed, the drawers in my room, the closets, they were anything but tidy. And truth be told, my room probably looked like a junior version edition of Hoarders. Now, I remember to this day, the piles upon piles of crap I stuffed into my dresser drawers and work desk. Stuffed animals, He-Man guys, plastic pieces from other toys, attack tracks, thunder tracks, old pens, dried up markers, and Lord knows what else occupy the underside of my bed. So take 1 minute and just close your eyes and drift back into time and see if this ever existed in your childhood. You can go ahead and nod yes, and we'll all feel that energetically on the podcast. Now, I can physically, if I go back, feel the clutter. And for some reason, I get this very strong emotional reaction when I do. Maybe it's a link to the childhood memories and feelings about home, or maybe it's the passage of time, which I always thought had a very strong emotional spark for me, or possibly the ability to deflect my attention to material inanimate objects hidden throughout my room instead of the emotional awareness or coping mechanisms to deal with my feelings. My feelings. That's another podcast. So is this a bad habit? Again, I don't like good or / bad dividing lines, but, and this is a really big but, I often wonder how the way I processed events and stress in my childhood played into multiple bouts of illness in my early adulthood. So just consider the emotional charge or joy as we each toy or object came into my life and how like a drug, that opiate high would spike and fade with each new addition, each new Thundercat, you know? How the onslaught of additional stuff would wax and wane, and eventually it would wind up under the bed. Now, there's a story there, and we could unpack that if we wanted to, but I want to keep this to under 10 minutes. So all those things, imagine this, they're all taking up space in my room, in my closet, but mostly I think they were taking up space in my emotional body. The body keeps the score. Read that one, get it on Amazon, you won't be sorry. So the things we own, they end up owning us. I'm drifting, I really wanna keep this on minimalism. So one day in my not too distant past, I was cleaning and I had this epiphany. True happiness and joy, I mean my joy, purpose, lasting bliss, love. If I look back on these moments in my life, in my present life, there is not one of them that is connected to a material possession like a toy or a gift or a home, anything that I had owned in my life. In fact, I feel like they actually functioned as distractions. The fleeting joy from these things, like a new glowworm for a birthday party, or a Cabbage Patch Kit at Christmas, or a lightsaber, the newest smartphone, they passed so quickly, just like a breeze through a leafy tree. It was an amazing addition to my collection of things, but in weeks, it was tossed on the floor or the bed like a rock holding little to no value. I know everybody knows it's the same thing as getting a new car. You're so scared to scratch it. But once someone throws up in the backseat, it's just another place for you to go places. Or the new iPhone. You know, it's this wonderful machine with all the features, and it's really great to take pictures with and use all the apps, and it gets a couple scratches and cracks, and all of a sudden, it's just a phone, and you toss it around in a bed, even though it's an $1,100 object. So I want to go back here. My joy, my true moments of happiness, for me, were with my family or my friends in theater when I was singing, horseback riding with my family, fishing, Western rodeo. Did I mention I used to barrel race? I did. I actually have a championship buckle somewhere, but that is also for a different podcast. So, over the last 2 years, I've made this move, this shift in my NYC home. Progressively, one after another, boxes of things have left my home, workout equipment, extra silverware, shoes, old sweaters, closing night gifts, opening night gifts, posters, old technical devices, and so many more things that I'm not even going to list. It's not that I could no longer find use for these things anymore. Listen, I can always justify any of the aforementioned items at some point in my life, but the reality was is that they were just taking up physical space, and I wasn't using them enough to justify their existence. And they were taking up small amounts of emotional bandwidth. As I'd periodically move them and store them in different drawers and change their resting place and took stock of their usefulness or lack thereof. And I'd think about that thing for a second, which at one time was very special to me. So it gets a little bit of my bandwidth. Without realizing, what I had been moving towards is this very realistic trend of minimalistic living. Now, there are a number of websites dedicated to living with the bare essentials of what you need, taking the focus off the material things we think we need and placing the focus back on what's important. I'm going to list a few here. So, Be Less With More. Mr. Money Mustache. I love this one. It's more along the lines of money management and frugality, but it's right in alignment. No Sidebar and The Minimalist. Check these guys out for great ideas, and I promise you, you'll be happy with the time spent there. So my essential happiness list is as follows. Good food, deep, restful, quiet sleep, nurturing, healthy relationships, my art or passion or writing, friends and family, and of course, vibrant, freaking health. So remember, the price of anything is the amount of life you pay for it. The energy of the space you create for your life by just keeping the essentials is limitless. There is an art to creating this energetic flow throughout your home, and this has proved to be one of the biggest health hacks to me moving forward in my journey towards wellness. And it's something that you can do to upgrade your health today for free. Possibly making money if the extra bits laying around your house are sold in a garage sale, eBay, Facebook Marketplace, or Craigslist. Those are some of the big ones. So I've got my action steps here as always. So first, before we just jump in, make a list of why you want to cut the excessive clutter in your home. Do you want more time with family? Do you want more money? Would you like more time freed up to do and focus on the things that you absolutely love? Don't start cleaning or decluttering for the sake of work. Find a reason that's inspired. If the value or the price or the gain is not strong enough, it's not going to stick. So my why is energetic abundance. I can feel the energy about the area and freedom to move through that space with less attachment. This is priceless. And I continue to nurture this as my space and my goals become crystal clear, right? So, number two, start with one area. Dedicate a clutter-free zone. It does not have to be big. Maybe it's a kitchen table or a workspace. Maybe this is your starting point and expand from here, gradually pushing your borders to include other distant lands. You are a dictator of your domain. Aggressively move forward and allow the kitchen table cluttered with bills to claim sovereignty over Tupperware cabinets stuffed with bowls without lids and drawers packed with mismatched, dried up felt-tipped markers and rubber bands. Do it. Number three, discard duplicates. Start with a few bags. Walk around your home and take any double sets. Great examples are spatulas, measuring cups, extra sets of dishes, old shoes, and high-waisted stonewashed jeans that don't fit. And even if they do fit, that magical new shape your body has evolved to over the years, it's time for them to go. Say this with me. The physical manifestation of objects I don't use is stagnancy in my life. That's really good. One more time. The physical manifestation of objects I don't use is stagnancy in my life. So number four, donate, donate, donate. Someone else could use your unused stuff for good. And consider, if you will be donating, to give to an organization that supports equal rights for all colors, all sexualities, all people, period. Just an idea. Number five, and to appease my friend Colin Titmus, recycle. The planet does not need assistance in expanding our current landfill challenge. I know Mother Earth will appreciate this. Number six, create an agreement. Create an agreement with yourself you can't break. Maybe an inverse ratio of things to go out versus coming in. Example, I am allowed one new shirt for every three I donate to Goodwill. I am allowed one new coffee mug with a pooping unicorn on it for every four I donate to a local charitable organization. So in conclusion, and we're summing it up, for me, choosing a life of simplicity, simple meals, simple joys, cooking whole foods, simple rest has allowed me many, many things. But most of all, freedom to pursue my dreams with a financial and energetic surplus. Minimalism is not about having less. It's about making room for more of what really matters to you. Namaste. Ladies and gentlemen, you made it to the end of the podcast. Now, in a world where the average attention span is less than 10 seconds, we just spent almost an hour together. And I think this is the beginning of something really beautiful. Now, one way to support the podcast is to head over to freddysetgo.com and check out my newly launched page, Freddy's Faves, where I've linked every five-star product and healing modality you hear about on the show. Most offer significant discounts by clicking the link. And please know, it doesn't cost you anything extra, and at the same time, they support the show through affiliation. So, check out Freddy's Faves on freddysetgo.com. This episode of the Beautifully Broken podcast was brought to you by our sponsor, AmpCoil, upgrading the vibrations of hearts, minds, and bodies all over the world. Thank you for tuning in. If you enjoyed today's show, head over to iTunes and leave a five-star review. Grabbing a download is like giving this virtual thumbs up that we're doing it right. And if you want to connect with me, shoot me a message on Instagram at freddysetgo.com or at freddysetgo. That's all for today. Our closing. The world is hurting. We need you at your very best. So take the steps today to always be upgrading, whatever it takes to move the needle. Remember, while life is pain, putting those fractured pieces back together is a beautiful process. I'm your host. I love you. Namaste. Have a wonderful day.